Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
From a competition to a pleasure run and all the stops in between, we cover all here at Coon Hunting Media.
Welcome back to another episode of the Coon Hunting Media Podcast. Tonight, I'm here. I've got Stacy and Kyle, and we got our good friend, Mr. Nick Mobley, and sponsor from Cajun Outdoors. Glad you're with us again, buddy.
Glad to be here, buddy.
Yeah, we thought that last one turned out pretty good, and we figured we're just going to make Nick a reoccurring guest. So before we get started, Johnny's not with us yet. He may show up a little later. Verse of the week is his thing, but since he's not here, I will do one. Everybody, we are getting into the Christmas season, so we're going to just read you a quick one from Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. It's the time that we need to be thinking about our Savior coming to the world. And it says here, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That is the reason for Christmas. So I know we get busy. My bunch is always busy. We're running everywhere. Do not forget what it's about.
If you are looking for a reliable, safe, clean, and comfortable transporter for your dog, then you need to contact Muddy River Transport. They offer a premium dog hauling experience where your dog's safety and comfort are top priority, and they will go above and beyond the competition. They use their advanced ozone treatment and sterilization machine to thoroughly clean their van at the completion of each run. You can rest assured that your dog will be traveling in an environment that is clean, safe, and hygienic. Their van is climate controlled. All kennel spaces are comfortable, spacious, safe, and secure. Your dog will be comfortable and stress-free during transport. The drivers that will be moving your dog are trained professionals with lots of experience in this field. They are friendly and dedicated that your dog's safety and comfort are top priority throughout their trip. Communication is top-notch. You can rest assured that you will get route updates, dog check-ins, and projected times of arrival, all while taking into consideration your busy schedule. If you are looking for a transport option for your dog and want a stress-free experience with the confidence that your dog will be in a clean, safe, hygienic environment, then call Muddy River Transport today to give your dog the best ride of their life. They believe their customers' dogs deserve to be treated as if they were their own. They are not just dog haulers, they are active houndsmen. They hunt just like you do and participate in all the major events. Remember the mission statement: travel safe, travel clean, travel comfortable. Every trip, every time with Muddy River Transport. Contact us on Facebook at Muddy River Transport Group or call 1-402-274-7558.
Coon Hunting Media is proudly sponsored by Little T Squatters. Them are the words every competition hunter loves to hear. Your winning coon has just been found. Little T Squatters, owned and designed by Tim Tempton, has set the bar for high quality, dependable, and unmatched performance. From pleasure hunters to extreme competitors, he covers it all with his five elite models. Original Little T, the Triple Threat, the Double Shot, the Pro Series, and the newly designed Bell Ringer. If you want to enter the woods with confidence, contact his office at 423-562-5333 and become elite.
Saddle Up Canine Cryo is owned by Mr. Bill Scheninger. Bill is located in Delta, Ohio. Don't miss out on the opportunity to keep that special stud dog forever. His services include semen collection, freezing, side-by-side shipping, and semen storage. Bill is also the owner of one of the best-known plot kennels in the country, Saddle Up Plots. Saddle Up Plots is home to UKC, PKC, AKC, WTDA, Grand Knight Champion, PR Saddle Up Lazarus. Lazarus accomplished the following accolades in 2021. He was UKC World Champ Plot, Plot Days Isaiah Kid Winner, Purina Breed Winner, Autumn Oaks Breed Champion, APA Breed Days Winner. Fresh chilled and frozen semen is available. Contact Bill directly for all pricing and services information for Canine Cryo and Saddle Up Plots. Bill's phone number is 419-467-7689. Saddle Up Plots. Making plots rise again.
Okay, guys, what are we going to talk about tonight? I know Nick and I have talked a little bit ahead of time. We want to do training and some of that stuff again, but anybody
want to start? So what that was, you know, Stacy, we got Pastor Johnny does the verse of the week, and that was assistant pastor.
Am I assistant pastor?
me and Stacy are deacons. Deacons of the podcast.
What is that guy that does all of those? I know you boys had to seen his reels. It's he's an assistant or an intern pastor. They're all funny, and it's Father Daddy Church or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
I think I know.
Oh gosh, about. It's so funny. Yeah. Some of the stuff he does, but I'll have to look it up to remember the name of it. But he does some of the best skits, man, out there. But it's like Father Daddy's Church is where they're at, or something of the sort. Who wants to start it off? Jump in somewhere.
Where are we going?
We're going into training. I already know what we're going to go into because Nick's done telling me where he wants to head. So you want to just head it up? You want to just head it up, Nick? First question?
We're eastbound.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you right now, we all got a bunch of trashy pups. So we're lead into some questions, Nick.
I don't have a pup trashy. You know why? I sold them.
Start off. Yeah, we know Stacy's probably sold them.
I have. I got one baby pup. It's a little bit quirky.
It's a little one, too. It's baby.
Coming to a market near you.
That's right.
Yeah, so, all right, go ahead. All right, let's get serious.
So, me and Jason's been talking enough here lately, and the running joke is what type of trash our dogs have got into this week. So, that's going to be my question for y'all is, how far is too far, and how long do you let that pup run trash, or do you let them run trash? I'm a firm believer if they'll run a track, if they're young and they're running something, I'm letting them roll, and I'm going to shoot a few coons out to them, and when I know what I want them to do, then I'm going to start making some corrections. But until I know, I want them running something.
Mm-hmm. Running something is better than standing at your feet.
I agree with that.
Now, I tell you what, I saw a post the other day, and I agreed. I liked it. It was one of Samuel Green's posts. You know that post they put out there the other day where they're advertising Danger Boy for stud, and somebody made a comment, and they asked him, and I said, do you think that lion would run a bear? And his response was, at one time, I tell you, he would have run anything that would lay the scent on the ground. Yeah. That's the kind of dog I want.
Yeah, I mean – look at that, for instance, that dog, I don't know exactly what he's won, but he's won a lot. Well over 50,000. I know, yeah, I don't know the exact number, but I do know it's over 50,000.
And he is the number highest winning English dog in pro sport already. I think that's official.
Yeah.
But that was his comment. He said at one time he would run anything that would put sin on the ground.
Yeah, and you look
I drew Danger Boy with punch.
You did, yes.
He's a knife dog.
I know.
Straight up a knife dog.
Yeah.
He treats like coons.
I've hunted with him a few times. I mean, like Stacey said, he's a coon dog. But, for example, right there, you're looking, that's a high-end competition dog.
Mm-hmm.
He let him run jump.
He let him run jump.
So it all comes down to the first question. So if somebody came to me like Nick has come and presented a question of that, number one question you ask back to them is, what do you want to do with your dog at the end of the day? 2 years down the road, what do you want to do with it? A year down the road. You want to go out in your backyard and go treat coons, or do you want to go win a truck? There's your foundation right there.
Yeah, and I wouldn't necessarily have to be a truck, but you want a competition hunt at a high level.
Yeah, at a high level. Yeah.
Or pleasure hunting.
Pleasure hunting at a high level. There's a difference in difference on pleasure hunting with the dog. Yeah. You got to know what that end goal is.
You know, if I've got a pup, I've been hunting your pup.
I'm not going. It's so, mine. That's, I know mine's trashy. Well, Kyle's been hunting her.
It is what it is. You know, a foundation that we like. I like. There's different junk.
Mm-hmm.
There's different junk too. You know, you've got fast game, then what I've got, what I call is, you got fast game and off game is what I call it in my head. Off game, you know, you got your armadillos, you got your...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Possums, you got your skunks, that sort of things. Then you've got your deer, your foxes, them style. That's what I let a pup run as much as they want to run it, because that is teaching them to run with their head up and roll. Because at the end of the day, you can't win a hunt with a dog around your feet, period. I mean, it don't matter. You just can't win like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the day, you can't go out here pleasure hunting. We hunt it and tree a coon with dogs around your feet unless you feel like walking mountains mile long.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They have to get out and hunt. They have to get out. They have to venture out and do something.
I mean, for us, and I come back, it's the old ways of how we was raised hunting, even before – competition hunting is always big, but before it got to this elite level of high dollars, competition hunting used to be high dollars. But Stacy and I grew up in a hunting family where trashy dogs were desired. I mean, Dad loved them. I mean, it was, you know, they wanted, because them young trashy dogs, they have potential. One that's, I'd rather be scratching my head on how to get that one back, as every night we go out trying to figure out how to get it to go.
Yeah, and that was 40 years ago.
Right. Almost be longer.
Yeah, almost time longer.
Time getting away fast.
Yeah, so, I mean, it ain't for the weak.
No.
And it's not going to be – you've got to – and it is what it is. You know, if you're either wanting to pleasure hunt at a high level or compete at a high level, it takes dedication. And it ain't easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it. So – there's going to be plenty of nights where that dog is rolling. You've got work in the morning. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And you don't get that dog back until you pull him off a tree or intercept him off of a road somewhere. So, I mean, I let him run.
Mm-hmm.
Just let him run.
So I think, Nick, for us, we all kind of are of that mindset that we don't want to stop him on. And I'll call it the fast game.
Yeah.
We a different mindset on the off game. The other stuff is more of a headache, and I'm probably not going to be near as tolerant of.
No.
But fast game, I do not have a problem with it on a young dog. Like I said, Kyle's had my female, we hunted for 2 weeks solid.
Yeah.
And how many fast game you say she ran?
Every night he turned her loose.
I mean, we went hunting. The first night I took her over, we went hunting with him, and he got to see her go. And I know she ran. It was, I'm not going to say it wasn't a bear, but it was probably a bobcat. But she covered about 2 miles with that thing. But it's got her fired up. She was wanting to go.
And I mean, because back to just some competitions, what's the goal in a competition? Fast. You got to be fast. You got to be accurate, but it's speed. So at the end of the day, when them dogs are, when they're young, they're leaving your feet like a rocket. and they're hitting that fast game, and it's taking them through the country, and bam, they're falling off on a coon, and you knock it out. That is teaching that dog to go when mm-hmm. that lead is snapped. You know, and there is, in my opinion, a time to break them off of it if you have to. A lot of times you warm, we call it warm the gun barrel up, they'll break themselves to an extent. But only time I would break one off, you know, if you got a 2.5-year-old that's treed 150 coons and now it's gotten a bad habit of just wanting to run deer all night long and never fall off, okay, it might need a little reminder, you know. I wouldn't just roast it, but you might need a little reminder. And mm-hmm. the reason why I'd say not to break a pup off of a fast game is some pups can't take correction when they're young. You know, you got an 8-month-old pup and it's ran out there 250 yards and struck a deer, and now it's 800 and you're holding 18 down. Now you're highly discouraged, that pup. And don't be surprised if you take it hunting the next time, they don't even want to go hunting.
So now, I'm not a professional dog trainer. I probably started 15, 20 pups from the ground up. A young dog starts on a fast game. I'll let them run it. But now there's a stint to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like as of before, I didn't have this new style collar. I had old style collars. When a dog starts getting out of hearing, I would start slowing it down a little bit. Start getting it coming towards me. Low shocking it, hollering at it. Try to cut it off. Not where I say I wouldn't hurt them. I just kind of get them off of it mm-hmm. and keep it going. As time that they breaking off, start treeing coons and get consistent treeing, then I would start what I call roasting them, stopping them. When I know, and I'd make sure that they're running fast game. Because around here, mm-hmm. we have a few coons here that'll run like a deer. And they'll go a mile.
Yes.
And treat the coons. And watch the dogs come by the field, run the coon, and it's taking on for a mile.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to watch how you do your young dogs.
Yeah.
How you slow them down. Hey, if you try to cut them off, try to pull mm-hmm. them off without getting rough at them when they're young.
Yeah. I mean, the best way... It ain't always possible. Catch them coming across the road, and normally if you run at them and start hollering, you know, hey, come here, you yep. can normally, they'll freeze for a second. You normally get a hold of them.
Correct.
But like the other, I had Jason's pup in Illinois, and she was running fast game. I think it was a fox, and she was not falling, and she knows how to fall off, but she's not becoming an artist at it yet, but she's learning how to fall off. And she ran this fox for entirely too long. She had so many opportunities to fall off. I bumped her 3 times on 6, and she falls off, strikes a deer.
Strikes a coon.
No, she struck
a deer.
She struck a deer off that after I bumped her on that fox, because she was just circling it mm-hmm. back and forth. I was like, you know, 45 minutes. Yeah, that's entirely too long. But I was giving her a benefit of the doubt, being young or whatever, and I bumped her very lightly, just enough to kind of just froze her. She fell off, struck a deer, rolled to their 1/2 mile, bam, come tree with the coon.
Mm-hmm.
So every now and then you might have to just, you know, give them a little adjustment, but nothing mm-hmm. nothing harsh.
What they're both talking about, Nick, too, and I witnessed it so many times growing up, when you start getting to that point that you're going to work them dogs some off that on that fast game, you can make or break a dog with that collar. And we had one uncle, and we've mentioned it before on the podcast, but around here, some of them, especially as this rut starts really kicking in, some of those boars will run and run and run, and you'll take a dog that you know is a top-notch coon dog, and every once in a while you'll scratch your head. We would scratch our head, is that dog on a coon or what, or on a deer? And next thing you know, they fall treed. And we had one uncle that had no patience for it. He wouldn't give it time to figure out if that dog was on a coon or a deer, and I guarantee you that he roasted that one dog multiple times, and he'd be burning a coon up, and he'd light his world, turn him up, you know, turn him a somersault, and it's over. Yeah. And that dog would have never been a competition dog, because he ruined him. His go was gone.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of times too, it comes into a preference of the handler. At the end of the day, I mean, you're wanting to please yourself. You know,
mm-hmm.
even if you're a competition hunter, yes, there's certain styles that win, but there's even of them styles, there's still more styles inside of them styles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everybody has their own preferences. You know, I ain't got a problem with a 5-year-old dog bumping a deer out of the truck, rolling in there, you know, 0.6 and 4.5 minutes jammed up with a coon, you know. Yep.
But they're getting treed.
They're getting, I mean, a lot of people wouldn't like that, you know. They'd want one, and it's no bad towards anybody. It's just what you like. Some of them would not want that. Mm-hmm. They want that dog hunting, you know, 300 or 400 yards right there around them looking for a coon, you know. And so at the end of the day, it also just comes with just personal preference also. You know, if you don't want a dog run fast game at all, mm-hmm. I mean, I would advise to, obviously it's hard, but I would try to put that pup in so many situations where he's not in, he don't get the opportunity to run it, you know. Mm-hmm. We don't train this way, but, you know, kind of an example of that, you know, turn that pup 100 yards from a hot, smoking hot bucket with 10 coons on it. Okay, the odds of it hitting a deer between that, you're cutting it to that bucket is very unlikely, you know. So, like, and I said, it just comes into preference.
And when the dogs start getting good for us, start doing what they're supposed to be doing, treeing a lot, then we'll start what's called road hunting. Come in the middle of the night, drive around, shine a field, and cut them out on red hot deer. And yep. Don't give them a chance. But we don't do that till the very end, when they're about seasoned in.
I would consider them dogs, like Kyle's talking about, that dog that's treated 100 coon.
And that's when
it's to the point of it's an issue, and it's time to straighten it up. Yeah. So
there is a point where it can, if you're not falling off, it's an issue.
Yeah. What's some of your thoughts on it, Nick? Because I've got some more on that same topic. I've got some more paths I want to go down with it too.
And we can go down slow game too.
Well, and I'll say this, and I'll tell any younger listeners or people new to the sport, make sure to build on what you were talking about earlier. Make sure you know, if you've got an issue, go out there and put that dog in a situation where you can correct him, whether it's a small block that you can get around and get ahead of the off game that there might be running, where you can correct them, and you know what you're correcting them off of. When they're coming across the field right on a deer's rear end and you can correct them, then that's the time. Don't do it just because you think you're doing the right thing, because a lot of times when we think we're doing something right, we're really not. We're doing the exact opposite, and you're going to mess up. And y'all will probably agree 110% with me. We have messed up more dogs than the dogs have messed up themselves.
Yep,
every bit of it.
Oh yeah,
every bit of it.
And I mean, I'd like to expound on a little bit what you was talking about. If you was having to correct a dog for something in that situation, this comes with anything. Correcting a dog in any way, in my opinion, do.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Not correct a dog until you're in an opportunity to reward that dog after you correct him.
I'm going to call. That's part your thought where you're heading, where I wanted to get some more opinion than, you know, head down that road.
Stacy's talking about cutting a dog. You know, if you got an issue with a dog, just say run a deer. You find an open field with deer in it, whatever, you're going to correct him.
You know it's
don't deer. Do that on a 10-degree night with 3 inches of snow on the ground, because you won't go do a little, you know, especially if you're up north. Drive around.
And recut some of that.
Yeah, drive around. You know, okay, I've seen 7 coons cross the road tonight. Coons are moving. Okay, now I'm going to go find a deer or whatever, fox or whatever you're having to break that dog off of, hogs, for, I mean, anything. Then you find that situation, because then in an ideal world, you know, we all use a shocking collar. You shock that dog, you know, it corrects it from it, then it blows off in the woods and comes straight with a coon. If there's 3 inches of snow on the ground and coons ain't moving, it's just going to be going out there running. And you can never reward that dog after you've corrected him. So now he's just sitting through there mad, frustrated.
He got shot for run track.
Yeah.
And he never got roots. Exactly. Back.
So on them thoughts, you guys went all down a couple roads I wanted to put it forward drive and beat the mud off the tires with. So what Nick, what you just said about making sure to these young listeners, making sure you know what you're doing it on, and what Kyle's talking about, putting them in the right situation. I'll use my little female because she's mine. I can talk bad about her. But I like her. I like her a lot. Oh, and yeah. she's trashy. I mean, she's trashy. But Kyle's been hunting her. She's been running crap just every time we turn her loose, and she does a good job with it. And everybody can't do that, and we couldn't do that back in the days because we were tied down or whatever. But we're at a spot right now where we can travel a little bit. So what did we do? Last weekend, we strategically made a trip to Illinois to go hunt with Dan because Dan has the hunting that we can put those dogs in those positions. Yeah. And
he's just fun to hang out with.
And he's fun to hang out. He's our buddy. He but he he's helps us. And so like her, as a perfect example, she will run you junk every time you cut her loose. We went up there last week. We're talking, you know, you getting in places where he's guiding these hunts, and there's coons everywhere you go, and you get a thermal out, you're going to see coons setting up around fields. We cut her and Johnny's pup, and they don't care what each other does. He goes, does his thing. She does her thing. First drop we made, she strikes. She starts running. It don't take just a minute to figure out it's not right. And we're sitting here. Hudson's got her on a Garmin. I got her on a Garmin. And I thought it was a fox. Dan said it was a coyote. She run the hair off of that thing. Mm-hmm. And we let her run it for probably about 15 minutes. And she pushed it probably 6/10 of a mile one way. And then it circled and it come back around. And we're back and forth. And I said, okay, Hudson, it's time to get her off of it, because we know there's coons in there. We've already right. Johnny's pup Chip is on the verge of treeing coons. He's got a great nose, but he's not settled in, and he had already treed two coon in that block of woods that we just couldn't get to him fast enough. We'd go into where he was at,
locate chop,
we try to run to him, we'd get to where he was, he'd be 100 yards over working another, we'd start shining with a thermal to be a coon setting up.
Right.
So I told Hudson, said, get her off of it. He bumps her. Within 3 minutes, she's locked and loaded. He says, I'm going to her. She's got this coon. I'm giving it to her. I said, that's what I want you to do. Walks in. He calls us. Me and Johnny's over here chasing Chip. He calls back. He says, she's got one. He said, and he give it to her. So she did trash. She got corrected, and she immediately got rewarded with a coon.
Oh, yeah.
And then talking about those situations, you know, we're hunting these blocks. Then we're going to go to another block. And we pull in, and it's a spot he was wanting us to hunt in. Guess what? The minute we pulled in and parked the trucks, what's standing there? Four deer. Guess what we did?
You know,
we didn't turn no dogs loose.
Right.
We did not put her in that situation because that was going to be tantalized. He was a buck out there chasing does. She would have ran one of them.
Oh, yeah.
And we intentionally we already had the dogs off the tailgate when we flipped the light up. And there the deer are 100 yards out there. He has put them back up. And we loaded up. We went to another spot.
Yes.
So there, if you can put them in those situations – where you can correct and work on them and know what you're doing, then there's some big benefits.
Yes. I mean, to break down what that whole situation, that dog has ran junk. She's fell off and treed several coons, treed several dens. She knows how to fall off. That's why y'all corrected her
after she
ran it, because she ran that junk too long.
Yeah, she's to the point to its work. And before this trip was done, she's treed four singles up here in two nights. And one night was a miserable night of hunting.
Right.
We were just like praying to the Lord above.
To hear Mark.
Will you give us enough break in the rain that we can maybe tree one and we promise we'll quit? And it was that bad. I mean, we were drying clothes for the next 24 hours. It was so nasty.
Yeah.
But she still treed four coon in this situation. And this is only one of my, I got to correct her multiple times while we were up there, and it was worth $1,000 for that trip of going up there. So,
and to give an example, you're not correcting her for running junk. You're correcting her for running the junk too long.
Yeah.
Junk running is not the issue.
Yeah. She's going to get better about having the coon.
Yeah. I mean, junk is not the issue. It's staying on that junk too long and not falling off on the coon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we corrected her some more, but I'll hold off on the rest of the correction as we get into some of the other stuff. We're talking about the fast game and things right now, but that's what we look for. Now,
one fast game that I don't let my dogs run is hogs and butter for us, because hogs, one, a good dog, they can hurt them, and two, a lot of times it's hard. If you're getting startled hogs, it's hard to get it.
That's a hard. And I don't want to walk in on a bunch of hogs.
Been there, done that. I don't like it. It's not my cup of tea. Now, and bear. We don't have a lot of bear here. But if I know one's running a bear, I'll stop them off the bear. Because they travel so much distance. We fought 15 hours one night if we fight to handle dogs. Around here, we can't do that because there's so much posted land. So I don't. That's two. It's the two animals I don't let my dogs. I'll stop them, get them, bring them back.
You want to elaborate some more on that one, Nick?
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite on the bear.
Wonder why.
You're a bear hunter.
So and where we're at, it's almost impossible to stay away from them until after, and that's what's got me hemmed up right now is we've got so many bear moving, and you've got to. But I know where most of the land that I'm hunting, where the bear crossings are, and most of the time I can get out there and they're leaving. We've got so much swamp land; they're leaving water streaks or something, and you can correct them off of it. But a lot of times I don't, because if they end up getting where they like it better, I just switch them over. And we just bred my black and tan that I bought, and it was a young started dog, and he got where he just turned on liking the bear. And now that's we just bred him for the second time tonight to a female, and hoping he's going to throw some nice pups, because he's turned it on this past year. But the hogs, I don't want my dogs on a bunch of hogs, because just like Stacy said, and that's pretty sure that's what mine started on the other night before I lost him, but I can't confirm it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those, so it's one of those, it's kind of, I think part of this is for the listeners to kind of get a game plan of what you want to train for. And then when you start doing this stuff, think about it when you're doing it. You know, I would rather like let that dog of mine run that trash and not bumper off of it to make the wrong decision and start bumping her at the wrong time and doing some of those things. So
and speaking on bumping them in the wrong time and stuff, and I've been guilty of this too, and I still, what I'm about to say is I do this sometimes, especially on a young dog that's just starting. Take the shot collar off the dog and put a 20 or a 5 that you have zero ability to shock, tone, or vibrate. And I know that sounds crazy, but we've all been in situations, you know, you're ready to go home, you're tired, it's snowing, it's raining, you've got work in the morning, or that dog's on angry neighbor's property and it's running junk, and here you are buzzing it back. Okay, and most of it, and that's fine if that's the style of dog that you're looking for. But if you're hunting a young dog, that can easily start sucking the drive and the want to go out of that dog. Because every time you turn it loose, what that pup gets in his mind is, well, I go out here, you know, a little ways, and well, my owners will when we come back. So we just moseys on out through there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that fire is leaving that dog. So I'd suggest just putting a 20 on it. Then you're sitting there, you're going to be mad, but you're going to be looking at that Garmin helpless, because you can't do nothing about it. But in the long run, it'll benefit you, because you're saving the pup.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so hard about here. You can't do that.
It's hard. You have to strategically place your pup.
You either get one shot or poisoned. So yeah. You got
to
watch.
You kind of have to watch where you're going, or you have to have somebody like Kyle that
you gotta watch.
Don't care to stay out all night. And
you got to watch. Yeah, and when you do that, you can't just cut them anywhere.
Yeah, your place to go.
But, I mean, run fast.
It's just hard around us. We're right here. It's hard.
Yeah.
Land and stuff's hard.
Well, I mean, like the stuff that I just talked about that I worked on that dog, we strategically planned that trip because I couldn't do that here. It's nearly impossible.
You have to plan trips like that.
If I bumped her, you know, if I'd been bumping her here on that, more than likely, she'd been a mile and a half trigger there, because there's just nothing left, I mean, to trim. There's not 50 more coons sitting there.
Like the other night I had some coons on camera, and I went and cut my male dog. That's a couple hours old sign. I went and got him, cut him. And he run it, put one in the hole, went across the ridge to the neighbor's property, tried a tree in the brush pile, went on. I talked with Jason. Well, I brought him back to me. He's about.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Across the highway. And he was far enough. He was 1,000 yards or so. And he'd done covered a mile and a half, 2 miles. But he was getting into the area from houses. I brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
But he hunted, what, 45 minutes, an hour,
mm-hmm.
before I ever touched him, bring him back, just track our track.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and talking about these, letting a dog run junk and stuff, at the end of the day, what's that? All that's creating is fast in a hurry.
Learn them how to run with the head up.
It's going, you better hope, I mean, that's got to be the style of dog you're wanting. If you don't want a dog that's 900 yards in 3 minutes tree with a coon, I wouldn't suggest you letting your dog do this.
No.
You know, but most people, even if you're a pleasure hunter, they like that. You know, who don't like going out with their buddies and that sucker just smokes through you on her, just bam, comes through with a coon. You're looking at her, you're high stepping all the way in that tree, even if you're a pleasure hunter. You know, as a competition hunter, it's a must.
Mm-hmm.
It's have to.
Yep.
But even as a pleasure hunter, but like I said, it's the style of dog that you're wanting. If you're wanting a dog to hunt kind of a close around you, I wouldn't suggest you letting it run junk. I mean, but if you're wanting the other side of it, then yeah, I'd let it run.
And if you're going to let it run junk, make sure that you either got a good boss man that you can call the next morning and tell him I'm not going to be at work because I don't know where my dog is, or either that you're willing to go to work on a lot of sleepless nights and 1 or 2 hours worth of sleep.
Yeah, because that's going to happen.
Bail out of jail. Get shot at. I mean, it ain't for everybody.
Well, I'll say there's a reason that most people send young dogs off and pay somebody else to hunt them. They're a handful.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to tell a guy you're paying what you want them, what you want them done. But, I mean, that's what you're paying them for.
It is. I mean, because that's of exactly what Nick just said. That's the reason. Because it's not always fun nights.
No, it ain't.
So, we beat that one to death. Go ahead.
That's the thing. I had a guy ask me the other day. Said, you've been treeing a lot of coons. I said, no, not really. And he said, why? I said, I'm hunting a bunch of young dogs, just starting them off and getting them going. And he's like, well, why do you even do it? I said, because there's nothing like seeing a young dog when that light switch comes on in their head and they start really figuring it out. And that's what I just love, working young dogs and seeing that progression. And every night, you're hoping you're seeing something different every night.
Well, I mean, you hit that right on. I mean, I think that's why Rip was the dog that he was, because Kyle had him at that age, and he got to see that progression, and you kind of start getting obsessed with it, because you start seeing that improvement night in, night out, and it's like, wow, if I keep going – I mean, and then you just keep seeing more traits pop out on them. One like that'll cause you to put the time into.
Yeah, and I call them all star looks.
Yeah,
you know, even as a young dog, I don't care if you're 10 months old. When they start training coons, every so often they're going to give you a glimpse of what they can be. You know, they fly through there and bam, come tree. You know, okay, this stuff. If it can do it now, it can do it consistently. I've just got to figure out how to get it to do that consistently.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing I'd like to say before we jump off of fast game is, if you're going to let them run fast game, make sure they're doing it right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep. So, and what I mean by that is, if your dog out there and you know 100% without a shadow of a doubt it is running a deer, and it has went 300 yards in 3 minutes, okay, that dog don't want to be running no deer. You know, it could easily be looking for a coon at that point. You know, it can't run deer. You know, that's just, it is what it is.
A lot of times, dogs like it will lose a deer. And they'll backtrack, try to find it.
Yes.
Then dogs need to be stopped.
If the dog is running a deer with his nose on the ground, it shouldn't be running a deer.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Because, like it's back to what we was talking about with the fast game. It's the foundation to get a dog to know how to run tracks fast with their head up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, if they're going to run fast game, make sure they're doing it right. If a dog is not running it right, I would suggest going to start breaking it off.
Use off game as a training tool as well, or a judgment tool. If it's going to run fast game, run it like it's fast game.
Yeah.
Because once that dog is broke, it can run that coon the same way.
Yeah, and this can be a matter of opinion. My opinion on this, if it's running a deer like a turtle, it's
probably going to get cold.
I'm talking about a snapping turtle. If it's running a deer like a snapping turtle, it'll run a coon like a tortoise.
Yeah. Yeah.
In most occasions.
Yeah, you can actually be real to yourself and judge dogs based on how they run trash. I'm getting to do a lot of judgment.
And I'm not going to name names of, I mean, good pleasure hunters and high-stake pleasure hunters, but also high-stake handlers. If the dog is a little junky, if it's not flying through there, running that deer like it should, they're done with it. They'll sell it to somebody else. You know, they'll sell it to somebody that wants to build a different style of dog. Yeah. They will judge a dog strictly off that fast game.
Exactly. So,
if a dog can't run a fast game or can't move a fast game, I don't want it.
No. So, we probably need to take a quick break. We're already 30 minutes in, so let's take a quick commercial break. Houndsman Advantage is a proud sponsor of the Coon Hunting Media Podcast. Houndsman Advantage is the premier digital scoring solution for the competition hunter. The app gives the necessary tools to score in competition or track your dog's hunting performance while on pleasure hunts. Imagine the benefit of having this tool at your fingertips on every hunt. Some of the features included within the app are a scorecard view, a summary view with tree timers for up to 4 dogs. There is no more calculating split strike and tree points manually. They are preloaded within the app. Cumulative scores will be automatically totaled with current plus, minus, circle, or deleted points after each scoring situation. The app includes the full rules for UKC, PKC, Pro Sport, and AKC. A search function is included, which allows you to find specific rules instantly. The app allows you to scratch or withdraw a dog at any time during the cast. When the app is running under the UKC rules, it will automatically scratch a dog that has reached the scratchable amount of minus points. The app includes a kennel function for personal information such as registration numbers and entry cards. You can also store analytics on your dog's accuracy, win percentages, and much, much more. Even though the app has been tailored with the competition hunter in mind, the pleasure hunter has not been left out. You can set up pleasure hunts that track up to 2 dogs' performance at a time. You can keep totals on accuracy, whether good or bad. This will be broken down to the game scene, dens, slicks, and so on. When you register on the app, you are given a 1-week free trial. Within the app, navigate to the news and update section. There, you will find a video that will walk you through how to use the entire app. Don't lose a cast because you didn't know the score or you had the wrong score. Give yourself the advantage, the Houndsman advantage. The app is available for download at the App Store and Google Play.
Cajun Outdoors is the official light sponsor of Coon Hunting Media Podcast. Cajun Lights has been in business since 1986, making them one of the oldest hunting light companies in the industry. Any listeners from this area knows the level of quality and reputation that came with the Cajun Light. Cajun Outdoors is quickly reclaiming their spot at the top of the modern hunting light industry. Their recipe for success is listening to customers' needs and wants. If you're looking at a Cajun light and don't see exactly what you want, pick up the phone and call the owner, L.W. Nixon. He will make the light that you want become a reality. Customization is not a problem with Cajun lights. You don't have to worry about cheap foreign parts from box stores. There are no worries about tariffs. All their lights are made right here in North Carolina in the great USA. The key mission statement of Cajun lights is, when you as a customer spend your hard-earned money with us, we'll stand behind what we sell. We will be here for years to come. The current light lineup is the premium light that is tailored specifically to the competition coon hunter, the Cajun Blinder. It comes with a choice of either bright white or natural main beam with 4 levels of brightness. Super bright dual white walk lights with spot flood combo for great visibility while walking and searching. Super bright red light with high-low option. Super bright amber with high-low option. Intense bright green laser. Burn time on high is 5 to 6 hours. Clip mounted for easy removal and changing of various hats. Weighs 18 to 21 ounces depending on hat style. The other quality lights they include are the Cajun Rogueroo, the Cajun Bayou 2, the Cajun Micro Gator. All Cajun lights come with a 2-year warranty along with a lifetime labor warranty. Most of the guys at Coon Hunting Media have ran Cajun lights since childhood. Cajun lights, try one and experience an elite light from a brand that has been around for years. Call them at 888-773-3080. or visit their website at CajunLights.com.
Briar Creek Kennels, feed and hunting supply store, owned by Chris Girth, located in Hemera, Indiana. Briar Creek carries all your pet supplies and is the headquarters for all your hunting dog gear. Never get caught in the dark. They carry Outlaw Lights, Superior Lights, and their own Briar Creek Light brand. They are an authorized Garmin and Dogtra dealer. They offer hunting apparel by Yoder Nylon, Southside Hunting Gear, Dan's, Razor, and their own Briar Creek branded gear. Dog boxes include Old Dry Pond and Diamond Deluxe.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
AGM thermals, engraved nameplates, dog collars, and leads are just a few of the many other offerings you can get from Briar Creek. Visit the store in person or shop online at www.shopbriarcreek.com or check them out at the major events. Their direct business number is 812-383-9489. Briar Creek Kennels Feed and Hunting Supply Store.
All right, everyone, we are back from our commercial break. Where did we go, Stacy?
We left. Well,
I don't know, I'm about to fall asleep.
Don't fall asleep. You ain't gonna fall asleep.
I've been up too early.
We
need to talk about the slow game.
I was gonna, we beat fast slow game to death. Let's jump over to the slow game now. Talk about that some.
I can tell you what slow game right now in his head. Them sheep are jumping over that fence. Very, very slow right now.
That's it.
So where do you want to head with that one, Nick, about slow game and
possums.
And others?
That's where I wanna go. That's a slow game I don't like.
So now there are some things that I don't have the toleration of deer on, and possums is one of them.
So possums is one animal I cannot stand my dog treat. Now, pup, if a young, just starting one out, I take it in the woods, first couple trips. If it trees one, I'm not going to scold on it and whoop on it. I'm going to leash it and say, bad boy, and walk off. But after a few weeks of that and several possums, he's going to get my hat. And just one animal I don't like. I'm not real rough on a young dog. I'll let them bark and go to them, but I'll make sure I get them off there, and I do not pet them much at all. If it's just starting out first day or so, I might say, good boy, pet them a second, go on, but I will not rub them up a lot on the possums. Armadillos, I don't have a problem with, though. I don't see a lot of armadillos here. They're here, we just don't treat none of them.
You're not hanging with my female enough. You'll find everything.
That's true.
Actually, though, I say that. I'm joking about that. I don't know that she's treated a possum. Have you seen a possum from her?
I've not seen a possum.
I've not walked to her with a possum. Her brother?
She don't slow up.
Yeah.
She don't slow up. She's
after the fast.
When she runs past a possum, she burns the hair off of him. You know what I mean? Like,
well, she's seen one so long here, she probably like one.
Yeah, because I actually had a pet there for a while. Because I have
probably just messed up.
Yeah, she just.
Well, I might have.
We have enough around the barn here. She don't mess with them. They see them all the time in the barn.
We do have them. You might see 8 or 10 just driving down the road. But
speaking of possums, on my way here, I walked out my front door.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? So I got a big old walnut tree in my front door. Like, it's a big. This sucker's huge.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of tree did you say?
Walnut.
Walnut.
Okay.
What did you think he said?
I thought he said a marijuana tree. Was...
He has one of those too. He keeps it trimmed and pruned. I don't know why, but he's... No, I'm kidding.
I do not.
That was a joke.
Yeah, but I got a big walnut tree, and there's this big limb that comes right... No, not next to the front door, but you can see it. And guess what's sitting there? Right in front of the garage, on that limb. I'm talking the biggest possum you've ever seen in your life. So what'd I grab? Just guess what I grabbed, Jason. You know exactly what I grabbed.
That big Ruger?
No.
Oh, that 3.5-inch Magnum?
Yes. 12-gauge, 3.5-inch Magnum, number 2s, steel shot. Listen to this.
Oh, you've got it videoed?
He videoed
it. He's over here showing us a video.
I shot that possum in the face. I get 10, I put the wadding through it.
Oh, my goodness.
Right out the front door. So, your male dog does not have to worry about that.
That one you don't have to worry about. So,
he's not related. So, I was just a little story.
So, on the other game, like I said, there's going to be different aspects to that of what we can and cannot tolerate. I mean, I'm kind of like Stacy. I'm not going to be the devil to a dog if it's a young pup and it trees one, but you're not going to want to be around me much if
no.
My dog starts doing this regularly. I don't tolerate it.
I will not keep it.
No, and
I've been there, done that, walked a mile and a half one night.
Because at the end of the day, like, the touch on the fast game, just for a split second, there's an end goal with the fast game. There's places for advancement. And there's tools that are being used there for the good.
And
there's nothing good coming out of a possum.
No.
I tell you, except there could be one bright side to it and one bright side only. You've got a five-month-old puppy. It's never looked up in its God-living life at nothing. I'm talking about it's never looked up at a coon. It's never looked up at a feed bowl, a hot dog. It's not even looked up at your face and barked at you. Then all of a sudden, it goes out there and jackhammers a possum. Okay. That's the only good time.
Situation. It's a short term.
Yeah.
It's got three. It's got three.
Three times.
That's strike one. He's got two more.
Give him his nine lives.
Well, I mean, to Kyle's point on that, the fast game, like I said, there's opportunity to end up where you want the advancement to be, as in breaking off of it, getting on a coon. What is the ultimate goal of any coon hunter is to walk to a tree that's got a coon setting up it. If that dog is stopping on them possums, there's no other – they're at the end. It's just the wrong – they didn't hit the goal, and there's no – you can't – they can't break away and fix that. It's the – they're doing – what you want them to do, as in get to the tree, but it's the wrong thing there. There's no breaking off to that.
Yes. And like...
And I'm sure I didn't explain that right, but
yeah,
that's...
Yeah, we know what you're saying. I mean, I think, like I said, and everybody's opinions are different, everybody's training tactics are different, I'm not saying any of them are right or any of them are wrong. I think that there's only one time and one occasion only where that pup or the dog has... You know, okay, I'm not going to scold it for this. And that is its very first few trees ever.
Mm-hmm.
After that dog's, in my opinion, if that dog has treed one coon, and then it goes out there and then all of a sudden it starts treeing possums, that dog needs to be corrected on that first possum it trees.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, some people say, oh, well, he's not treeing real good yet. I get that. I didn't say beat the far out of him. But the last thing you want to do is even...
Remotely praise him.
Remotely touch that dog in a praising way. Because now he's like, oh, well, now I'm getting rewarded for this one too. You know, because you're wanting to emphasize on rewarding at that young age.
Mm-hmm.
Reward on the right thing, not the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
I definitely don't reward on the possums.
Yes. And, you know, a dog goes out there and trees a coon, obviously you're going to reward it. He goes out there and trees a possum, and I'm saying this is his first few trees.
Yeah.
Walk out there, pay that dog zero mind. Snap that dog and walk off. Go to the truck. Be done. Right there. And here's kind of a sneak peek training tactic or whatever that I look at a lot. We've all 99%, not 99, but I'll say 90% of coon hunters are carrying thermals nowadays. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't hit that. The first thing that when you're training a young dog, in my opinion, the first thing that needs to happen when you get to that tree, for one, tie the dog up. Don't pet it yet. Just tie it up. And then pull your thermal out immediately. Okay, if it's treed on a tree, it's 3 inches tall, and you flip that thermal up, okay, and you can see it's a possum. It's 6 foot off the ground on a tree. It's 3 inches around. Do not pull that squaller out of your bag and go to squalling. Because, in my opinion, that dog, have you ever noticed a dog when you start hitting that squaller, it goes ballistics. That dog loves it. You know what I mean? They're thinking the coon's coming out of the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So now that dog, I see that as a sense of rewarding. You know, use that thermal as your advantage. You know, a lot of people, their first thing they do, right when they get to a tree, bam, throw some lights up, start squalling. All of a sudden, they find a possum. Well, now you're halfway rewarding that dog. It's excited because you're blowing a squaller, and now you're over beating it. Mm-hmm. You know, use that thermal as your advantage. You know, don't I would say don't hit your squaller unless you know you probably got a coon or something or a den. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's your thoughts, Nick?
I'm right there with you. I did have a guy tell me one time, but it's basically the same thing Kyle was saying earlier. Is he had a dog that wouldn't look up. He would run everything. He said he knew it was running coons, knew it was running fast game, knew it was doing. He said it's just running track great. He fell off on a possum one night, and he said he went in there and he's telling me, and I'm cringing. He's just petting that dog up. He said never mess with another possum, and started treeing coons after that. And I was like, you've got to be the luck. You need to go buy a lottery ticket because yeah. Mine would tree every possum in the woods after that.
I've got a dog right now.
You're right.
That don't fool with no possums. But he's not barking up much for us. And if he trees one, he's almost 2 years old. He's not yet, but he's almost. If he treed a possum tonight, I'm not going to whoop him on it. Because he's his spell now, he wants to run, don't want to tree up. So if I see a possum tree, I'll leash him and walk him off. Because he got to that point, he's not wanting to bark up for us. He just wants to run right now. So I'm not going to whoop him off a possum. Or
for the first couple.
For the first couple.
If he were to.
To get him barking up again.
But, I mean, and I think of, like, possums and stuff just like deer. I mean, if I'm really wanting to work on one, we might go out and just ride around. And we talk about opportunities. Put that dog in that opportunity for that correction. Now, if I want it to be a place where I can send that dog on, but I might turn it right out on top of a possum where I know that's what it's being turned out on.
My advice to that is I jump out of the truck first and go out there and run that possum up a tree because that's how he's liable to catch it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at 2 or 3 points, I don't care if he does catch it. I might let him get a hold of it.
That could be a
bet. I want him. I want him to catch him because if I can give a especially that young female I've got out here, she started messing with them. And one day she come across the field and she was running a deer. And I saw the deer and I hollered at her and I toned her. And she looked up because I was standing, the deer run right past me. And she started to me and she fell off that deer. And I could see her running with her head up. And I was like, where is she going? That deer did not go that way. I'm thinking I got another problem.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts down a V ditch in that field. And I shined the light down there and I saw the coon or the possum. And about the time she grabbed hold of him and caught him, I lit her up. Now she'll go through the woods and you can hear her. She'll hit 2 or 3 licks and then she'll hush and she'll haul buggy a different direction. I say, possum.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It works. You gave her a good training episode that just proves she remembers it. So that's definitely something that I would agree with on those. So another thing that I have been having problems with is dogs, and it's probably off game. It may be armadillo. I don't know. It may be possum, but they get in the ground. She likes. I mean, we've had that little female get in the ground multiple times on us, and I can't stand that. I mean, that's, you know, as a pleasure hunter back at one point in time, that didn't bother me as much. But on competition, if that dog trees and gets in the ground, even if it takes us 15 minutes, I just wasted 15 minutes of my opportunities to tree a coon because you're not going to get a score of that ground. No, 99% of the time, you're not going to – I mean, in my whole life of hunting – I probably have walked to less than 3 ground holes that I have physically been able to look at the coon.
These are holes in the ground. This ain't field tiles.
Yeah. Holes.
These are just,
for us, we got bluffs and stuff everywhere that stuff can get in the ground. It's a little different than the farm country, but you're not scoring that. While you're walking to your dog and getting, you're going to get circled on it on a hunt, but somebody else is treeing the coon. And it's not something that we can tolerate.
Well, it's like the other night, me and you. It's 45 minutes to walk to the dogs.
Yeah.
A hole in the ground.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
And then 45 minutes back to the truck.
Yeah, that'll really
yeah,
put you in a bad mood.
Big mount. Yeah, it just kills your night.
Yeah, and south of the big farm country, 99.9% of the time when you're treeing the ground, it's not a coon.
Most of the time it's not.
I mean, minus, you know, you got a five-year-old dog, that sucker's rock solid. It is not messing, no off gain. All of a sudden, it just blazes a track in there and sits down on it right, but it's in the ground. Okay, that you know, you could have a coon in the ground. I don't say they don't go in the ground, because they do.
They do.
But most of the time, it's off game. Minus field tiles. You know, you'll tree a lot of coon and field tiles up north.
You will.
They're in them fields. And
that's and all they can all get to.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's hard to help that. I mean, you can still break dogs off that, but that's a different occurrence.
One of the few times I've ever went to, I mean, and I've hunted my whole life, and I have seen a few, but it's very few. One of our better dogs that we had, he didn't tree in the ground, and he got treed in the ground one night, and I'm not going to lie, he is a grand knight, and I was ready to rock his world, but that was one of those few times. Once I got down to where he was, now I know why he was in the ground. The coon basically was up under a crevice, and that's the only place that coon had to go, and he was an inch away from being able to drag it out of there, and he wasn't leaving it. So, I mean, yeah. I'm not going to fault the dog for doing that.
No.
I cannot stand to go to one that's in the ground all the time. I'm going to work on that.
And, I mean, to tell just a short little story, you know, I was at the PKC World Hunt with Rip, and I pulled off of a coon out of the, and I was sitting pretty. Two dogs jam a slick out of the truck, and I've got a coon. Well, I'm feeling pretty all. Yeah, okay, we're good now. We're good. Well, one dog's still running, so we're not leashed, like whatever. They've done recut. I pull off a coon, and there's a minute rule. I had to recut in the middle of this field, dead middle of this field. You know, this is good time of year. This is in March still, after they moved it. There's coons in these fields.
Mm-hmm.
And I recut Rip, and he, bam, gets struck and drives the sucker into this field tile.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I don't mean barking on the outside of this field tile, he got in the field tile. We could see the coon. There's one sitting right there in it. And we had to wind up digging that concrete field tile out, hook log chains to it, and pull it out of the ground with a truck to be able to get the dog out.
Mm-hmm.
So it can get some touchy situations.
Yeah. In those situations, I mean, you got to work on them dogs, and I'll use our trip to Illinois as another training tool. I already got to tell my story of how we got to work that little female on some fast game, turned into rewarding her with a coon afterwards. I mean, she's getting in the ground more than I like. We dropped her in another spot, and there's coon in there. We saw one or two setting up around a field edge. And when I say we're seeing them, you're not seeing them necessarily right on you, but you can see forever. You can't really explain it. You can see for half a mile. And we're finding coon. So I know there's coon in there. We drop her down a fence row. She goes in. She strikes. She runs a track, and she gets treed in the ground. Well, she's at that point. She's got to be – she's in training mode. Mm-hmm. And when I was – and the thing is, I was 100% positive she was in the ground. There was no doubt about it. I could tell the way she was barking. So what I do, I brought her out of it, standing at the truck. Exactly. I didn't tolerate it anymore. Yep. I brought her out of that. But I had her in a situation that there's more coon around. I know there's coon in there. I pulled her. She quit barking. Within a minute, she's running again. Within another minute, she's treed again. And I got to go to her and reward her with another coon.
Right.
And it's those strategic training situations. I mean, I'm not going to tolerate the ground.
No, and you've opened up a very, 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 very good point that I was going to point out and compound on it is to tell the listeners what you also just said. You was at the truck when you shocked her.
I was.
Out of the hole. So same deal with a possum up a tree. Same deal with a ground hole. When you're out there hunting, okay, you're training. You're in train mode. You need to pay attention to every bark that dog makes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. That dog is going to give you some sort of note when he trees a possum, somehow. You know, some dogs, instead of locating, they just fall treed. Okay, and some dogs, when they tree in the ground, obviously you can hear they're muffled and stuff like that. The best, and this is after this is an issue. This ain't, we're not talking about puppies anymore. We're talking about dogs. And the best way to break a dog off of a ground hole or a possum is to, like Jason just did, and this is for dogs that can take some shocking. Some dogs just can't, and that's a different animal to train. But if they can take a shocking, is to do that from a far distance.
let them associate it with where they're at instead of me.
Exactly. Them and that problem, not you, them, and the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because that opens up a whole new can of worms of issues, because whenever you go in there and correct them, and an issue that can bring, so for instance, the dog trees a possum, okay? And when we do train like this some, you know, you're going to switch them, whatever, send them on.
Mm-hmm.
That can work. Sometimes that don't work. Sometimes that can cause that dog waits till he sees your lights.
And he leaves.
Then leaves because, oh, here comes dad. I'm going to get in trouble. So now you tree him in a hunt. Mm-hmm. You're walking to him. All of a sudden he sees your light. Bam, he's gone. Takes 100 quarter minus. Yes, that's better than taking a minus both ways or getting scratched. But you still not solved your issue.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to correct that from a distance cuts all that out. Now all he's associating is, I do this mistake, I feel pain.
Yep.
I'm done. Mm-hmm. Same with a ground hole. You know, that's how I would suggest to break them from a ground hole. And that's, like I said, that all comes back to a dog that can take stimulating from a collar. But I can't stress enough, you've got to know your dog. You know, yep. You don't want to accidentally, you know, correct one for training a coon. You know, I would make sure, and that's another way you can use thermals to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a dog's on the field edge, walk in with your light off real slow, thermal that tree from 200 yards off. That dog don't know you're there.
Right.
You know, you've seen he's treading on a tree and there's something 5 foot above his head. 99% of the time, that's not what you want to walk into.
No. So, any other situations you had like that, Nick, or?
And this might not be popular, and there's probably going to be some people that get upset about this a little bit, but I am a firm believer. If they have a possum in a tree, I am not, and I've got friends that do it, I am not going to shoot that possum out to them and then let them get a hold of it and then correct them. Because you've just done, if you shot coons out to them, you just build them, pumping them up that much more. And now you're rewarding them with the meat, and now you're correcting them. I don't like that. And I know some people do it, but I don't like it.
No, and I do agree with you on that. And especially young dogs, because I don't know, all of our dogs, when they start hearing gun cracking going off, hey, they getting fired up. They mm-hmm. know what's coming next. And a young dog's like that too, and he hears that gun cracking, then all of a sudden he gets a hold of wherever he does treat, and then you pretty much suck the life out of him. It don't be surprised if he starts shutting down. I call it shutting down, where he don't want a tree, or he starts getting gun shy, and you can open up a whole other can mm-hmm. of worms of not goods.
Yeah, and I try to go that same route. And there's times that my temper has gotten out of the ahead of me multiple times.
That stupid dog, pow pow.
But it's you're right. That's something you really got to watch of going that way. And that's, you know, that's like that little female was talking about, that, you know, those situations of being able to correct them and then reward them is a big deal. Because like that very next drop we made on her, she got after something off game, but on that one she quit it really quick and she got treated with the coon without any correction. And I mean, you know, she treated four singles there in 2 nights. So that's, it's all about situational and strategically training them dogs and thinking your way through each one of the situations.
Yeah, and all this comes back to another key thing. And like I said, everybody's got opinions, and a dog's got to be able to take correction to be able to do any of this, some mm-hmm. sort of correction, whether it's shocking with a collar, switching a dog, yelling at a dog, some sort of correction. If that dog cannot take any correction, it's rough. It's hard. I mean, now if you're what I would call, that dog's your buddy, you go outside, you know, there's nothing wrong with this, but that dog's your buddy, you go out to your backyard, your woods near your house, tree a couple coons, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a dog, but if you're going to train a dog and tune a dog and keep him sharp, that dog's got to be able to take some sort of correction. And you got to figure out what correction works best on your dog.
Mm-hmm.
Every dog's different.
And we're not sitting here advocating being ugly and mean to these dogs. You praise them up. I look at this just kind of like, you know, we're training them to be competitive athletes, I promise you that Sunday through Thursday at football camp, when they're training, it's not the same as you see at the, to get the results that they, right. they give us on game day. We sat around and watch these games all day Saturday. Monday through Thursday wasn't the same. There's some correction that goes on in that, and these coaches, they're not their best buddy every time.
Yeah, we all know you drop a pass, you run a mile. You fumble the football, you run a mile.
So that's just some of the thoughts that I've got with it. And another thing that I keep going back to in my head, we're talking about knowing when you're doing this stuff. Everybody wants to hunt off that Garmin. That Garmin don't tell you everything. It's what Nick has said, it's what Kyle said, Stacy said, listening for all those cues and stuff on those dogs, because some of that stuff that Garmin won't tell you.
No, and use them both for your advantage. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think that, say on a possum, you think that dog is making a weird bark before he trees a possum, and you can be able to pick up on that, study that Garmin very closely. You know, a lot of times he may hit that tree, then come off and act like it's wanting to leave, and it's like, maybe I want to come back, and it's circling. If that becomes a pattern of whenever that dog trees a possum, then you know without a shadow of a doubt it's doing something it shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just use all your tools for your advantage. I mean, we've got these Garmins now. I mean, they're a very good tool, or they can be a bad tool.
Mm-hmm. So what's some other? Go ahead.
And a lot of this stuff, like just like the possum, I don't like to do that. But if you're doing it and you're having success doing it, by all means, keep on doing it. If that works for you. And I don't, it's none of this stuff. This is just stuff that we have seen has worked over the years for us. It right. doesn't mean if you've done this and something that we've said not to do, if you like to do that, it's your dog. More power to you. You roll on training, mm-hmm. training like you want to train. And I mean, this is just tips and what we've seen over the years that work and
work for us.
And the big thing is, a lot of times, if you're sitting there before you make any type of correction, normally if they're running fast game or they're on off game, you've got some time.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a few minutes. Stop and think about the pros and cons of what you're going to do before you mash a button or you go in there and switch a dog or whatever you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Think of what the pros and cons are to what you're getting ready to do.
100% right. I agree with that. Because with that tool in your hand,
yeah.
you've got a most of the time a couple mile range to make those decisions in.
Yeah, and I mean, these tactics. I mean, they like Nick said, they will not work on every dog.
Mm-mm.
Period. They won't. I mean, if there's a fix-all for everything, you know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't be going to work in the morning.
Nope.
So, I mean.
And a big thing is you have to know your dog. I mean, you have to know what kind of correction your dog take. Some dogs won't take electricity.
No.
So, when you're correcting a young dog or even an old dog, some of them you may not be able to shock them. You may have to handle them different or scolding them or they may shut completely down.
Yeah, and it comes to the handler, too. I mean, some handlers don't need to be given TT25s and a Garmin 300.
I have an uncle like that.
He didn't need one.
Yeah, and some of them need a leather belt and a pair of boots, you know, and some people doesn't need a leather belt, you know, and it's just as much the handler as it is the dog.
My mama left her shotgun coming down. Bell didn't help a lot of me.
Is there any other we kind of beat around? Possums are tend to be the worst thing to deal with, but is there any other slow game or off game type stuff that you want to talk about working on?
Probably
squirrels.
I mean, my most frustrating that I'd ever have to deal with is armadillos, because they sound like bulldozers running through the woods. For one, they're halfway blind. And they love going in holes. What dog does not love digging in holes? They love it.
Yep, all the time.
And there's nothing good comes out of armadillos. And they can be hard to break a dog off of. But I will say, you know, you breaking a dog off of It's amazing. Even possums. You know, all of a sudden you break your dog off a possum, well, all of a sudden my dog ain't treating as many groundholes anymore. You start breaking dogs off certain things, they quit doing a lot of things too. There's a lot of this stuff.
Assumptions, a chain assumptions that are made in the woods that they're tied together. Yes. No, that's true.
But no, I mean squirrels. I mean that's the same difference. That's a whole other can of worms. As we was talking about fast game with a young dog. Now we're talking about squirrels with a young dog. Squirrels is considered I consider it a style of off game.
Yeah, I don't really have the right answer for that one because
that's a big opinion. That's a 50-50 opinion.
Yeah. What's your opinion on it, Nick? You got one?
I don't have an opinion on squirrels because I've had dogs that's what they started on. They'd start treeing squirrels and stuff. I'll say we don't really have a big issue. I've never had a big issue with that. I encountered something I was going to throw in there when you said other off game. I was trying to think of them. I encountered something the other night that I had never encountered before because we don't have many right here where I live, but a few counties over are starting to get them. Got on a skunk.
That's another one I hate. I want one for a pet. I think it'd be the coolest cat ever, but
absolute zero tolerance for skunks. Dog catches one skunks, I'm out. I'm done. I'm done with that dog. I can promise you right now I will be done. Now, there is one. If I'm hunting a four-year-old dog and it's a straight-up coon dog, it's a winner, and all of a sudden it runs across the skunk. You can't help it if it's running down a field edge, running mock Jesus, and all of a sudden it trips over a skunk. And it gets sprayed. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can't help that. But you turn a dog loose, and you go over to it, and it's chewed on a skunk. Yeah, I'm done.
That's a hard one to break because I'm not brave enough to run in on them and all the bad stuff that would go along with it. But I just don't like them.
I'm out.
But I'm going to.
Stacy Bates. I'd rather
have a skunk over a possum.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way on God's green earth because
I hate a possum.
Little fun story. Whenever I first started coon hunting, my mama was not a fan at all because all she thought of was 14-year-old boy in the middle of the night by himself with a gun, a light, and a dog running through the middle of the woods. So she didn't like the idea. Dad loved it. She didn't. Okay.
Because
I hunted by myself. I walked.
Mm-hmm. I had you a good dog, though.
That's probably where this story's heading.
No.
I wasn't sure.
This is prior to all this. I'm hunting a call. Like, his sucker's bad. Like, I would... Shows how much I knew. If it barked, I was happy. Like, I was thrilled. You know, I was happy to hear a dog just bark. I'm like, heck yeah. Well, it caught a skunk one night. And I walked from my house, you know, hunting. I'm not far from the house, you know, a mile and a half, 2 miles. And my eyes watered the whole
way home.
Because I was, the way the wind was blowing in my face the whole way home. And that, it's just blowing that scent right in my face. And I don't know how my mom knew. And this is 11:30. She's always in bed. Before I made it to the door, she was already yelling out the back door, "You better be taking your clothes off because I can smell it coming through the air conditioner."
She already sprayed really good.
Oh, she already knew what happened.
And wow.
So, yeah, that was not a pleasant.
Yeah, for us though, it's pretty well a consensus. We have a zero tolerance policy on that. We put skunks and possums in about the same category. We don't.
They're not in the same category.
Well, I'm talking about from a toleration. Yeah. You know, we spent the whole first half of the episode. We tolerate deer and off game running while we're training.
Yes,
but. Not those two.
No, I might let one get one skunk, and I might, you know, give it a benefit of the doubt. Maybe it ran up on it. Then when you turn it loose again, a couple weeks later, and it does it again, it's done. It's over. I'm out.
Well, one thing about skunks, you got a 50-50 on it. Some dogs hate it. Once they get in it, they're done.
Right.
Some dogs love it.
Yep.
And you got to make some decisions. What can you tolerate? Because you got some dogs that once they get it, they're going to do it every time they get the opportunity. And for us, we do have probably a lot more than you. Like you said, you don't have a lot in your county, but we have them kind of everywhere we go.
Oh, yeah.
Five or six of barn or not.
Yeah, well, I pulled in the other night. They were inside the barn. There was skunks everywhere up there.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's why I would give them a benefit of the doubt on one, because that's a make or break.
Yeah.
They're either going to love it or they're going to hate it.
But now, squirrels you got to be touchy with, because a lot of us use squirrels to start these dogs, and it's a fine line.
You got to pick your poisons on that. It's a double-edged sword, you know. There's been a lot of nice dogs started on squirrels.
Mm-hmm.
Nice ones. I mean, world champions have been started on squirrels.
In worst case, you can always make squirrel dog hunt.
That's true. And I did that once.
That is true.
But right. I think squirrels, I think it's a scent drive. You can take these dogs and start them on squirrels, and if for some reason, and I don't know what it is, it's just about the way these dogs are bred or whatever, but the scent of coon will overpower that most of the time.
It's usually
a self-fixing thing.
Oh,
but
yeah.
There are some dogs out there that they're going to treat them. So.
Yeah, and most people use starting them on squirrels is for one reason only two.
Get them looking up.
Just treeing.
Just treeing.
This is just my personal opinion. You know, I wasn't in the air back then, but I've heard stories of it was hard to get tree in a dog back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them would start on squirrels to put tree in them. We breed tree in dogs nowadays. They come out of the womb treeing almost. You know, these dogs are treeing everything in sight.
Mm-hmm.
So would I start one? Probably not. Not try.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to go out there and harp on a five-month-old puppy for jackhammering a squirrel out in the backyard. I'm going to be tickled to death. But I'm not going to go out there and go catch a squirrel in a trap and go turn it loose up a tree and try to get the tree on it.
My little pup's, 3 months old?
3 months, yeah.
And I've had in the woods about 3 days a week behind the house.
Yeah.
Try to shoot a squirrel to it. Just get him in the woods, getting him looking up.
Yeah.
But is that fine line? You're going to.
Like the other evening, I was up there. I couldn't find a squirrel, so I got a limb. Going to bark up on a limb. Just getting him barking up. Like she's little. She's a little thing. I just get her barking up.
Yeah, I mean, now it's. You're just using it to get him to look up and I guess what I would, you know, if a dog knows how to look up, there's step one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if a dog is out there in the backyard and it's treeing the house cat, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
They knows how to tree. It don't need to be treeing squirrels now. You know, yeah. I mean,
they start, don't keep on with it.
No, yeah, I mean.
That focus shift over to the coons.
And that's just matters of opinion. You know, and everybody's got different ways of training, and you've got to, it's trial and error. You know, put all these tricks in your arsenal bag and just try them, you know.
Mm-hmm. So Nick, I know we talked ahead of time. We had several topics that we were going to try to go down, but as you and I both had said, we will probably fill it up pretty quick, and we went over just
make
a couple topics, and we're
making part three.
We're about an hour 15 in. Do we want to get into anything else, or we want to kind of finish this one off and pick back up next time?
We can finish this one off and pick up next time, and I'm sure between now and then we'll have some more things that we've run across and dealt with, and like, hey, we need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we constantly run into stuff, and I like to get into these topics like that. And I think this stuff, if you know, especially these young listeners, if they get in there and listen to some of this stuff, they can do things the right way the first time. Because trust me, with like the stuff we're talking about doing, we've done it the wrong way several times.
Trial and error.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or buying
dogs.
That's
why we're talking about it.
Yep.
Or buying dogs, going trying dogs out.
Yes.
It helps you a lot as far as knowing what the dog's doing when you're there. Listen to us talk like it's here, how we fix errors. It helps these young kids and even older guys. When you try a dog out, you see what the dog's doing. Can I fix that problem? Is that a problem I want to deal with? You know, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't
do like me.
No.
Try the dogs out. Stop buying dogs without putting your eyes and hands on them.
And I mean, we're not going to carry on even more, but there's a very more in depth ways of going about all this too. Is learn the dog's body language too. You know, if like Stacey's going back to trying out a dog, if you all of a sudden, and not even being ill mannered towards the dog, but you walk over towards and you just kind of raise your hand up or something, and it's cowering down.
Yeah,
that's a little red flag, you know.
Well, and I'll throw one last thing about body language on them dogs and learning them. My little female, I don't care to talk about her because she's mine, and I've been very open of how trashy she's been, but I see all this good stuff. By the time she got to that fourth coon the other night, and she'd run junk, she got off on it. When we walked into the tree, I about got down laughing. I told Hudson, I said, look at that dog. Because when we started petting her, we already knew she had the coon. We done walked in. She is absolutely pretty much going into convulsions while she's treeing. She's so excited.
Yeah.
I mean, because she's getting it. She's figuring out what's going on. And it's like, yeah, she's flipping a switch because she's excited.
She'll take your arm off too.
She will, but it's out of excitement. That's one of the reasons I like her. But she was. That last one, I thought she was going to fall down.
Yeah.
I mean, she was just holding onto that tree and just shaking from the top of her head to her toes. And it's like, okay, this stuff's working. This training stuff is working on her. She knows what's coming now. She done knew what was about to happen.
Right. And another thing, too, like we said, all these tricks, man, are, will not work on every dog. And some dogs run fixable at the end of the day. And some, and after you try and try and try all different types of tricks and all this, sometimes you've got to cut your loss and go to the next one.
Or deal with it.
Yeah, or deal with it.
Yeah. One or the other. And you got to pick and choose your battles.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, boys. This has been a good one, I think. Any last stuff before we call her quits?
No, that's it. I'm good to go.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to us. And thanks to our sponsors. You got Mr. Nick on here from Cajun. We appreciate those guys. They will take – give them a call. They will take care of you with your light needs, your houndsman, any of the needs, your dog food needs, your elite nutrition. I mean, it's a one-stop shop, and they take care of us. We're about to send some stuff over there right now because we got some tweaks that need to be done, and it's just like, get it over here. We'll have it right back to you. So
yeah, they're top-notch. And real quick, you know, it's wintertime. We're cold. We're all out here working and stuff. You know, don't forget to hop on over to Bare Knuckles. Mm-hmm. Leather company. They are 100% made in the USA. They're a United States company, and they make genuine leather. I mean, anything. Mm-hmm. Chaps, gloves, any style of work gloves. And be sure to use our promo code. That is CHMP.
Mm-hmm.
Promo code. It'll give you 15% off your whole order. So that's bear, like a black bear, Bare Knuckles.
Or grizzly bear,
polar bear, you know. But it's Bare Knuckles Leather Company, so check them out and be sure to use the promo code CHMP to get 15% off your entire order. You know, we got Christmas rolling up. You know, you got that good father-in-law gift, you know. Get them the good side of the
If in-law. You really like them, buy them a lot.
Yes.
If you kind of like them, get them a pair of gloves.
Get a pair of gloves, you know. You got to get them something, but.
But no, like I said, we appreciate it. Nick, thank you for joining us again tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me again, and well, looks like we're going to be doing it again.
Well, yeah, you're back. I've already said you are the returning guest. You're just going to be part of the podcast.
Have you figured out how to get out go to Arkansas with us yet?
I doubt I'm going to be able to make that one. You picked a bad week.
That's Johnny. That's Johnny.
You can do what I always did. You know, if boss man wouldn't let you get off to go to a hunt or something, I'd just quit, go to the hunt, and find a new job when I got back home.
Don't do that.
I don't think LW's going to like that too good.
No, you're at a place that you're well, in your be, career. You we, stay. We, don't we listen to
we'll sweet talking.
We'll we, be we've, right. been, we've been giving advice on that. Do not take Kyle's advice on that.
Just take me on a business trip.
But
I'm trying to figure out how he's going to be a lawman, and then everywhere he goes, he's about to get locked up.
I'm telling you, he's
reverse psychology, Nick.
He sells himself out on this.
Oh yeah, it's all reverse psychology. You know, the way I look at it, you know, you sneak in behind somebody's house, go get a dog. Hey, sheriff's department, go on about your business.
But no, the trip part though, that's
I was kidding. I was kidding.
It's kind of Johnny's fault, but he can't do anything about it. They made a new rule this year. His company works for, they gave everybody an extra week vacation this year, so it was a corporate decision. But in that rule was nobody could take off in December, period, because they're going to get an extra, they got the same amount of vacation they had to have burned before December, and everybody, they're doing a company-wide shutdown the week of Christmas. So Johnny's like, I cannot take off.
And I told Johnny, it'd be a heck of a time to get the flu. I mean, we got some COVID tests we can send in for him.
He's not going to do that.
No.
So, but anyway, we'll ramble back and forth. So good night, everybody.